Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Blind Bargains Cast, a traditional podcast where some guys sit around talking about the news, and then there's an interview, and then there's a Well, that would be normal if JJ was here with me, but he's not. We're actually doing a feature show or our barbecue bites or, well, one of those type of shows. We're going to do that instead of a traditional show because we need a little bit of time to start prepping for the wrap-up show, which is going to be in 191 for Apple. What could they be possibly bringing us? A new 4K TV? Probably Series 5 watches? A phone? Or two? Or probably three? All that coming up. But we got to get ready for it, so we're doing a lot of research and reading about Apple and preparing for the September 10th innovation presentation. That's next week. Let's go ahead and figure out what we're going to do this week in episode 190. JJ is going to step up and give us a look at Voice View from the Fire TV. We've talked about it a lot. We've referred to it, but we've never really kind of given a listen to what Voice View is and how it works. I actually have one too. Ricky got a 4K Fire TV stick, and so this is very familiar to me, but it may not be familiar to you, so we'll take a listen to that. David Ward will be back here from the Echo Tips podcast. He's going to show us the new guard feature for the Amazon Echo. And then I missed the memo completely, and, well, I don't have something Amazon related to talk about, but I do have a cube, not a Fire cube, which was also updated this week, by the way, but a pluggable cube. The pluggable cube is a USB-C dock that I'm using on my Surface Go, so we'll talk about that and the pluggable keyboard, actually, a little bit too. We sell that over at AT Guys. You might have heard us talk about that before. We've got all of this coming up on episode 190. Sit back, relax, put your feet up on a cube, and listen forth.
You're listening to the Blind Bargains QCast.
Saucy.
You know, we've talked a lot over the past couple years about streaming boxes and devices. We've talked about the NVIDIA Shield, and we've talked a lot about the Amazon Fire TVs. But it occurred to me, as we were putting together one of these awesome feature shows, that we've actually never demoed the Fire TV or its variants directly on this here podcast. So I figured, why not? It's actually come a long way in the past couple years. There's a lot more accessibility than was there a couple years ago, and the Voice View screen reader has really come a long way. As you heard, it just booted up. Because I just plugged it back in.
Voice View ready. Home. 2 of 8.
And Voice View is ready.
Use left and right to move between items.
So the model I have is a Fire TV 3rd edition. Amazon was nice enough to provide this to us. We really do appreciate that. This one's a little square. They don't even make this one anymore. But the other models that are out now are very similar. This is a 3rd edition Fire TV. It's a little square. Micro USB on one corner. HDMI on another corner. A little dongle. The HDMI is a little cord that hangs off of this thing. Micro USB is a port. It comes with a remote. So the remote has the Amazon Alexa voice button on the top. And now I've just activated everybody's Alexas. Below that is a navigation 5-way control. So up, down, left, right. It's a circle and a button in the middle for select. Below that is 3 buttons. Back on the left, home in the middle, menu on the right. And below that is rewind, play, pause, and fast forward. So those are 2 rows of circular buttons. This remote comes with a lot of the different Fire TVs. Depending on which one you get, you may end up with a different remote. And like I said, this will apply to a lot of the various Fire TVs. And I'll talk a bit towards the end of this about what to look for and the different versions of the Fire TV operating system and why you might want to get newer hardware as opposed to older. Thankfully, this is running the latest version of the Fire TV OS. 6.2 point something as of the time of this recording. Of course, that's going to change, but this is still a model that is getting current updates. So that is good for us and good for Voice View. So on the main screen, we'll describe more of the screen in a minute, but I'm going to press right arrow 7 several times to get over to settings.
Live. Your apps, 7 of 8. Settings, 8 of 8.
And as soon as I land on settings, I don't even have to press select or anything. I just press down arrow, and then we'll start going through the settings that are available. So kind of as I'm going through these tabs on the top, it changes the menus below it.
1, notifications, 1 of 12.
One notification.
Use left and right to move between items.
Oh, there's the hint, by the way. You can turn those on and off. The notification actually tells everyone else in the world that Voice View is indeed running, which is there for the people that are like, why do I have this speech on my TV and I can't turn it off? So let's go further right, though, and see some of these settings categories here.
Network, 2 of 12. Display and sounds, 3 of 12. Applications, 4 of 12. Live TV, 5 of 12. Controllers and Bluetooth devices, 6 of 12. Alexa, 7 of 12. Preferences, 8 of 12. My Fire TV, 9 of 12. Accessibility, 10 of 12.
Ah, accessibility. I'll press OK.
Accessibility, closed caption, 1 of 4. Voice View, 2 of 4.
And now I'm pressing down arrow.
Manage voice guidance settings, including turning voice view on and off, reading speed, and volume.
There's Voice View.
Screen magnifier, off, 3 of 4. High contrast text, experimental, off, 4 of 4.
Just to show you, there is a screen magnifier and high contrast text border. As well.
Screen, voice view, 2 of 4. Voice view screen reader, voice view, on, 1 of 8.
So if that is on, and
down to new between items.
Let's go down to speech rate, and then I'll
provides
explain other things.
As you navigate items on the screen. Reading speed, 2x, 2 of 8.
Yes.
Voice view screen reader,
mine is at 2x.
Slowest, not checked, 1 of 10.
We could go as far as this.
Reading speed, 0.66x, slowest, 2 of 8.
We'd have a long podcast.
Voice, 0.81x, normal.
Here's where it starts.
Not checked. Reading speed, 1x, normal, 2 of 8.
So that's how it comes.
Voice,
let's go back.
1.5x.
Voice view screen reader, reading speed, 1.5x, 2 of 8.
I think that's fair.
Verbosity, 3 of 8.
So yes, verbosity is available on Voice View.
While navigating.
And that's cool because not every screen reader includes some of these more advanced concepts like verbosity, which lets you control how much is spoken. Those little hints right there.
Voice view screen reader, speak window and container context, on, 1 of 8. Speak role, on, 2 of 8. Speak index, on, 3 of 8. The location and count of items in current groups such as item 1 of 3. Speak usage hints, on, 4 of 8.
You can get pretty granular.
Speak screen description, off, 5 of 8. Speak described by, on, 6 of 8. Speak state before long titles, experimental, off, 7 of 8. Reset to default, 8 of 8.
So I just
reset
go through
verbosity options to default values.
To show you some of the options here with the just the verbosity on Voice View. Let me press back.
Voice View screen reader, verbosity, 3 of 8. Use speech volume, 90% of device volume, 4 of 8.
Now this becomes interesting.
Adjust the volume of Voice View speech.
Yes, adjust the volume of speech. Now, if you're watching certain TV shows or certain networks, you might want to turn that way down to something a lot less. That way you don't have the volume blaring out over the show that you're trying to watch. So you can control the speech volume.
Sounds volume, 40%.
The sound volume.
Echo, characters, 6 of 8. Punctuation level, sound.
And then, of course, key echo.
Tutorial, 8 of 8.
So when you first start
Learn
Voice
how
View.
How to use the Voice View screen reader.
There is a tutorial as well that will tell you how things work. Some of the menus, pretty much what I'm describing. So if you'd rather have this nice voice, Ivona, describe it instead of me, hey, go through the tutorial. It's probably clearer anyway. So let me go back to the main menu.
Home.
I press Home. And by the
use
way, if you hold
right to move between items.
See, I'm about to turn off these hints because I've used this for a minute now. If you hold down the back button and the menu button for a couple seconds.
Voice view exiting.
Voice view is off. So if you come across somebody's existing Fire TV and it's already set up, hold down back in menu for a couple seconds. And
voice view ready. Home, 2 of 8. Use left and right to move between items.
Now, if you do that for the first time, the tutorial that we just passed will come up and you can skip past it or you can go through that. So voice view is going to come up. And then you can do all the different things. One other thing that you can do with Voice View is a review mode. And this actually comes in quite handy on some of the more advanced services. For instance, Pluto TV, which I'll talk about in a minute, had to do the thing where you had to enter in a code. And Voice View tries to pronounce the code as a single word. But I can go around the screen and review by character. So if I hold down the menu button.
Review mode on.
This is one of the newer things that wasn't in the original Voice View on Fire TV. I can press up and down arrow.
Character. Word. Sentence. Element. Character.
And if I went by character, for instance, I press right and left.
H-O-M-E-L-I-V-E-Y-O-U-R space V-I-D-E.
If I wanted to click on your videos.
Your videos. 4 of 8.
You can still press select and do that. So it does become useful in some situations. It doesn't solve all the accessibility challenges. There are some apps that still just won't read anything, and we'll show you that in a minute as well. So let me go back to home.
Voice view screen reader. Voice view on. 1 of 8.
And I don't know why it put me there. Let's try home again.
Review mode off. Home, 2 of 8.
That was weird. Okay, there we
go. Use left and right to move between items.
So there's these different tabs. So home is your main screen, as we were kind of showing off. Now, it's kind of a collaboration, combobulation, discombobulation. Yeah, it's a variety of things. So as you go down, and this is similar to kind of how the NVIDIA Shield does it and how other TVs do it. As you go down, there's a variety of rows, and each row has a theme. So if I press down arrow, you'll notice.
Carnival row, 1 of 6.
This is a row of content, featured content.
Packers v. Bears on NBC Sports, 2 of 6.
Boo, boo.
Prime Video channels, 3 of 6.
I'm a single mom, finally making things work.
And each one of these have an advertisement.
The Affair on Showtime, 4 of 6.
I know I made some mistakes, but I love you.
So some of these you
Prime
could
Video
pay
channels,
for.
3 of 6.
Some of these are free.
Packers, Carnival row, 1 of 6.
If we go down to the next row.
Recent, Netflix.
So recent,
use
of course.
Use up and down to move between categories such as new releases or comedy. Use left and right to move between items in the category.
Okay, you explained
Netflix.
It better than I did. This now shows recent things that I have watched.
Gran Torino, button.
So I can press right arrow.
Superbad, button. Hulu, live and on demand. CBS News, live. CNET, The AV Club, The Onion.
Say what you want about my movie
CBS
selection.
CBS News, live. CBS, Hulu, live.
So those are recent things that I've watched. Let's hit down arrow again.
Your apps and channels, Netflix.
My apps. So these are apps that I've downloaded.
Prime Video. IMDb TV. Amazon Music.
Or that Amazon decided to include by default.
Sponsored. Bon Appetit, button.
A sponsored row of things.
Amazon Original Series. Carnival Row, Season 1.
Of course,
button.
Amazon's going to have a row of their own things.
Recommended movies. Mission, Impossible, Fallout, Prime, button.
Now, some of these will have audio description now, which is cool.
Popular movies. Death Wish. Recommends. Continue watching for JJ. 11%.
So this is cool if you have no idea what you want to watch.
Crazy X. Recommend by your apps. 90s pop.
That makes more sense. 90.
On now. Nature knows best. 4K TV.
Now notice this too.
Featured apps
recommended
and games,
by your apps.
PlayStation View button.
I'm not sure which app is recommending that. 90s pop.
Watch with
probably.
Your cable subscription. Sundance TV button. Rom-coms we love. The Big Sick.
At any rate,
The Big Sick. Rom. Home. 2 of 8. Tom
I can press home.
Live. 3 of 8.
And go back to the top. We have more tabs.
To move between items.
Home.
Your videos.
Live for live TV.
Movies. TV shows. 6 of 8. Apps. 7 of 8. Settings. 8 of 8. Apps. 7
now that's
of
all fine and well. You can, of course, browse around and you can see all sorts of things. That's all fine and well. But, of course, let's check into some of the actual apps. One that works really well is Prime Video, as we were kind of messing with a minute ago.
TV shows, 6 of 8.
And, in fact, I could do it that way, or I can hold on the top button. Prime Video.
Prime Video. Latest, The Boys, button.
And now we have the
boys,
Prime Video app.
4.5 out of 5 stars from...
You can also press...
home, 2 of 8.
Oops.
Use left and right to move
don't
between
Don't press
items.
Home. Prime Video. I was going to say you can press play and pause.
Prime Video, latest, The Boys, button. The Boys.
To interrupt... There we go. I was going to say you can press play and pause, the play pause button to interrupt speech. Don't accidentally press the home button that's right above it and you'll do what I just did. But anyway, you can arrow around the Prime Video app and you can check out many of the things that exist here. If there's a movie or a TV show that has audio description, you can actually go in and you can change that. How that works, essentially, let's see if we can find something that does have audio description.
Trending on Fire TV, Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan. Latest, yeah. The Boys, button. Jim Gaffigan, Quality Time, Arctic, button.
What was I watching?
Trending on Fire TV, Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan. Movies and TV, Good Omens, button. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, button.
Okay, Good Omens should have
Good
description.
Omens,
I pressed select here.
Good Omens, watch now with Prime, 1 of 4.
Okay, and I press select again.
Loading. Playing in the beginning.
This brought refugees to these shores.
Pause. Play.
Let's see your papers.
She'll have to go back where she came from.
It's been totally destroyed.
Good Omens, skip.
Okay, that's the preview thing.
Watch
we can
list.
Skip over that.
Slider. 0%.
Red text on a TV screen. Warning.
Ah.
White text. Kids, causing Armageddon can be dangerous. Do not attempt it in your own home.
Current theories on the creation of the universe.
Pause.
I like that. So there you go. You can actually do a lot of control there. Now, if I press menu twice.
Menu, Good Omens, 4K UHD, Season 1, Episode 1, Audio. Subtitles. Watch from beginning. Audio.
And there's audio. I can press audio and press OK on that.
Good Omens, 4K UHD, Season 1, Episode 1. Stereo, drop down, audio language, English, audio description, drop down.
And then you select audio language. And there you go. You hear English audio description. That's where you would go ahead and change that. Now, the instructions are normally going to tell you to press menu once. Because of the review mode and voice view, you have to press menu twice to get things that you normally have to press menu once for. But that's where you would control audio description for Prime Video. So, of course, that's an Amazon app. So I'm not too surprised that Prime Video works pretty well, at least on the Fire TV sticks. What about other apps, though, besides that? Well, you know, things aren't as bad as you might think. One of the ones that comes to mind that we've been playing with a lot lately is Pluto TV. Now, I can get into the Pluto TV app, and I can just hold down the voice button. Pluto TV. And eventually something's going to pop up. Let's see here. Hello?
Carnival Row.
No. You don't like
home.
Me.
2 of 8.
Pluto TV. There we go.
Apps and games. 1 of 4. Search in apps. 4 of 4. Pluto TV. It's free TV.
Yep, button. That's what I want. So I press select.
Berlin.
So protests
Berlin.
Here
Berlin.
Are especially
the Cold
shocking.
War. In the immediate aftermath of World War II, the fault lines of the Cold War were drawn in Berlin. For the defeated Berliners, it was a confusing time, across with rival Berlin, ideologies playing out in the post-war rebel press, on your remote to watch full screen, live TV, live TV.
If you're not familiar with Pluto TV, it has now nearly 200 channels, well, at least more than 150 channels of live TV. And live takes a lot of various forms here, but you can watch everything from news networks to a lot of binge-watch type channels. So if you want to just watch, right now there's a James Bond channel, for instance, with just Bond movies 24/7. There's a Forensic Files channel. So a lot of niche-type networks. It's not the same as regular cable, but if you don't have cable, it's a nice little replacement for a lot of things. So if I press down arrow,
the sentence, just go over there,
7 p.m.,
go to the
8 p.m.,
east.
565, subtitles, button.
In the east,
now, this is interesting.
East Germany,
you know, it's
calm.
Reading kind
of. Summer of 1968.
I press up arrow here.
7 p.m. 7 p.m., 8:45 p.m., 52, subtitles, button.
Uh-oh, it's a movie on channel 52. We don't know what movie it is. Maybe if I hold down the menu button.
Review mode on.
Ah, nope.
Character. Element.
Nope. So as you can see, not always exactly what you want here. Now, there's actually a way around it for Pluto. Pluto is one of the apps.
Subtitles. Button.
Oops. Let's go ahead.
7 p.m. to 8:45 p.m. Subtitles. Button. 7. How she move.
Oh, there we go.
To do.
I just had to press play and kind of bring up the title screen again for the movie. So it's there, you just have to kind of finagle a bit. Let's get out of review mode here.
Review mode off.
And so I go back to home.
Subtitles.
Actually,
button.
Here we go.
Home.
Now there's a better way that you could do this. Some of the apps
use left and right to move between items.
On Fire TV use the Amazon Channels Guide. This is kind of a newer thing that exists. Channel Guide.
Here's Channel Guide.
So Channel Guide is now a thing that apps can hook into to actually browse through live TV channels that are available. If you happen to have one of the subscription services, such as PlayStation Vue or YouTube TV, things like that, a lot of those also will hook into to Channel Guide. If you had a Recast, which is the Amazon Fire TV that lets you record DVR, it'll hook into this as well.
The latest news from CNN, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., CBS News, live. Hurricane Dorian coverage, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Yes, there's the hurricane coverage. Of course, we're thinking of everyone in the path of that.
Bloomberg News, 24/7 live broadcast, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m.
So these are channels that are coming from Pluto.
Your Cheddar, 7:30 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Some of them are a little more obscure.
Newsy Top Stories.
Cheddar, Newsy.
Live broadcast, 7:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m.
Now, this is interesting where it's reading you the name of the show, but not the channel. So I'm not even sure whose live broadcast that is.
The Young Turks, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Sky News Live, 6, RT America.
These are all news channels.
Law and Crime Live trial coverage and analysis.
Ooh.
Repeat. B.
Beavis and Butthead, 7:15 p.m. to 7:15
And that's p.m. all we need in life right there is Beavis and Butthead. So, of course, I press enter on that or select. It will bring it back up and we can just spend the rest of the episode watching Beavis and Butthead because what else do you need in life?
Agacadabra? Now, come on. What do you...
Okay. Awesome. Oh, I love it. So... That is a lot of Pluto TV. That's the channels guide. But let's go to Netflix. Netflix. Watch what happens.
Apps and games. Netflix button.
Yeah, that's what I want. So I'm going to press select. And it's loading. Takes a second to load. Some of these newer fires apparently have faster processors, including ones that were just announced this week. So maybe that'll help things out.
Edit JJ profile.
Okay, so there's my profile.
In edit profile on the select what you want to change screen.
Oh, I don't want to edit. Name. But you notice the voice?
On the profile selection screen. Who's watching Netflix? JJ.
I am. JJ.
On the browse screen. In the spotlight row. One title in this row. The Walking Dead. Watch season 9 now. It's the last... In the TV comedies row. 75 titles in this row. The Office, U.S.
Not only is it slow,
the workers are clueless, elaborate pranks and feuds abound.
It's telling you all this stuff before it gets to the episode.
This 2006 Emmy winner,
it's very slow.
Comedy series made star, home, 2 of 8.
And as soon as I press home, back to the Amazon Fire TV, it's just fine. It seems to be a Netflix issue. You cannot go in and change the speed. I try looking through their various menus, things like that. There seems to be no way to control the voice speed. It's very frustrating. Hulu seems to be doing the same thing, so we're not exactly sure why this is happening. I, and I think others as well, have called Netflix, opened up support tickets. If anyone has any insight, we'd love to know more on that one, because that really impedes with your Netflix watching ability. Okay, but say you know the show that you want to watch on Netflix. You can get around all of that. And, you know, you can just hold down the voice button. And the cool thing is you can just say the name of a show and it will find it for you. So if I hold down the voice button, BoJack Horseman.
BoJack Horseman button.
And there is the show. I press select.
BoJack Horseman. Watch now with Netflix.
And if I press select again.
Playing. 20.
Hey.
Playing.
23
minutes, 36 seconds remaining.
BoJack press scratches okay to his pause. This show is an animated adult comedy featuring human and animal characters.
Paused.
And of course, because...
23 minutes, 21 seconds remaining.
That's useful. Because I have...
Press okay to play.
Okay.
Press up for more options.
See, this is all going and it's really slow. See how obnoxious that is? But since I had audio description enabled on other devices, I can grab it here as well. And since it's already enabled, we're fine. Now, if I press menu twice...
Menu.
On Netflix. See,
Skipped back. 17 seconds. 23 minutes.
I'm trying to see if we can...
Play from beginning. Press down for play controls.
I'm trying to see what other options we have here.
Press OK to play. Press up for more options.
Okay.
In options menu. Audio and subtitles.
There it is. You know, it's kind of...
Press down for play controls.
It's like you're playing this weird Where's Waldo game. I found it. There's audio and subtitles. You just have to do a lot of arrows and...
Subtitles. 1 of 6 buttons. English. CC. Press select to choose English.
And it's so slow here.
French.
Those are subtitles.
English. CC. Off. Currently selected.
And somewhere around here might be audio description.
In options menu. Audio and subtitles. Press down for play controls. Exit.
Audio and subtitles.
Audio and play from beginning. Audio.
Let's press
subtitles.
Okay on this again.
Press down for play controls. Subtitles. 1 of 6 buttons. Off. Currently selected.
Maybe I should wait to hear these really slow instructions. Or maybe it's good it's talking really slow because it's a feature show and we need to kill time.
English. French. Simplified. Spanish.
Those are all subtitles.
Traditional. Audio.
One okay, if you go buttons. Past that.
English. Audio description 5.1.
There it is.
Currently selected. English original. English original 5. French. French 5.1. German.
And that's where you find your audio descriptions German or other 5. Languages.
Italian.
But it's so slow. Spanish. Here, I'll let you, I'm pressing the button.
Spanish 5.1.
And you can hear the delay.
Press select to choose Spanish 5.1. Home. 2 of 8.
Okay, so what else works well?
Use left and right to move between items.
Pandora works really relatively well on here. I would play with it around with that. Spotify does not. Spotify has a weird login thing that I was having a lot of trouble doing. The IMDb app, which has a lot more free movies, was pretty easy to get at on here. So that was great for more movies. And Tubi, which is a newer app also with more movies, I was able to bring up movies and watch them as well. So the cool thing about this, and Roku does this now, and NVIDIA does this, is if you don't know who has the movie, but you just know it's out there, I just hold down the voice button. Spaceballs.
Movies and TV. 1 of 2. Search in apps. 2 of 2. Spaceballs. Button.
And there it is.
Movies and TV. Spaceballs. Spaceballs. Resume 1 hour, 35 minutes remaining.
And as you can hear, I was already watching it.
What?
Because why not?
Customers also watch. Resume 1 hour, 35. Watch from beginning. 2 of. Watch trailer. Button. Add to watch list. More ways to watch. 5 of 5.
So it found that I believe I'm Prime. I can impress it.
Use left and
I can do more ways to watch.
Spaceballs. Watch now with Prime. Rent from Amazon SD $2.99.
Or you could even rent it if you wanted to. So if you had other options, say if a movie was on Netflix or you could buy it on Prime Video, it would show that up here. So, you know, there's often multiple ways or multiple sources for the same movie. That's important because sometimes one will have audio description and one will don't. Go to the AD Project. It's really good for that. And it'll tell you who has it and who doesn't. There are some movies, as they note, that are available. And if you buy them on Prime Video or on iTunes, you'll get the audio described content. But if you do the free version or the version that comes with your free your Prime membership, you will not get the audio described content. That's a whole rights issue. That's a whole separate thing. But this is how it is at the moment. So that's how that is. So I mentioned different models earlier, and this being the third edition Fire TV Ultra. It's not even made anymore, but it still has the current software. That's important. So the latest software here is 6.2 point whatever at this point. The older Fire TVs, first and second generation, and a lot of the older Fire TV 6 run Fire OS 5. So those, assumedly, will not be getting as many updates. The Toshiba TVs and the Insignia TVs also have the latest version 6. But the other TVs from some other brands have version 5. So if you're going to buy, definitely I would look newer. You can get the current Fire TV stick for $40. That's your good entry-level way into this if you wanted to play with it. And you can try it out. And as you can see, a fair amount of things work. You know, you can watch stuff on Netflix just fine. Pluto is fine. There's other TV services. There is now a YouTube app on here as well, which wasn't a thing for a while. Just Amazon and Google were fighting, and now apparently they're fighting a little bit less. So that's out there. The Fire TV stick for $40 is your cheapest way in. If you want more power or you want things a little bit faster, you can get the Ultra or some of the other models for a little more money, or you can get a Fire Edition TV. Now, in my opinion, the only thing that I have on, say, Fire Edition TVs, and this applies just as much to Android TVs or TVs with Roku, is you're probably a little less likely to want to buy a new TV in 2 or 3 years. At some point, that software that's running the Fire OS is going to stop getting updates on your TV. And do you really want to be having to buy a new TV in 3 years just because your TV stopped getting updates? Now, there are solutions. At that point, you could decide, well, I'll just buy a new Fire TV stick and plug it in and use my existing TV. That's fine. You could do that. Or you could just get a TV that doesn't have this type of stuff on it. Let's say like a Samsung TV, which still has voice commands and voice capabilities, and then hook up a Fire TV stick to it. So you're just, you know, spending $40 more. So in other words, I wouldn't spend much more money on a TV, but if you can get one, in fact, some of these Toshibas and Insignias, which is the Best Buy brand, are very relatively reasonably priced. I'm sure around Black Friday, there's going to be some nice Insignia Fire TVs and also some Toshiba models. It'll be very reasonably priced. So, you know, it's not perfect. There are still things that need to be ironed out. Voice View seems to be getting a little bit better here and there, which is very encouraging. The review thing, the review feature certainly is helpful. And as more apps come on board, it certainly will make things a lot easier. You know, some apps, Watch ABC is another one that I play with and works really well. And, you know, other apps, not so much. But $40, especially at the low end, if you're looking for a low end choice, I would definitely consider this, especially if it's, say, this versus Roku. Amazon seems to be putting more effort into their accessibility. VoiceView is getting updates here and there, and at least they're adding things where the Roku kind of added accessibility and it's been just sitting there and hasn't been doing much over time. So we'll try to put some links in the show notes on all of this. Went a little longer than I would have liked, but you know, that's, I blame Netflix. It was talking slow. It was all Netflix.
You're listening to the Blind Bargains Cast.
Blind Bargains Cast.
Well, thank you, Blind Bargains team. It's a pleasure to be here with you all again. I am going to be demonstrating today a new Amazon Echo feature called Guard Mode. That's right, guard, like guard dog. But your Echo is going to be the guard dog, basically. And it deals with break-in detection. So the idea is this new feature is you can turn it on when you're leaving the house, and then it will listen, has a little white light spinning on top, and it will listen for these very specific things. And it's just constantly cycling through the content like it does for your name. But it's listening for breaking glass, fire alarms, I think even a kicked-in door. I don't know. You might have to look at the documentation. It listens for these things, and if something happens that it thinks is fishy, it sends a brief sample of that clip, like a 20-second, 10-second clip, to your phone, your smartphone, via the Alexa app, and it lets you know. Oh, I said her name, see, and I triggered her. But anyway, so you'll get to know that something maybe is amiss. And you can even drop in on your Echo, which means you're kind of like an intercom to your Echo, to listen yourself what's going on in the house, or to talk to somebody if they're there, if somebody dropped something or it broke, or whatever. And if you have an Echo that has a screen and a camera, then you can also visually, if your vision is cooperative and you have some left, you can kind of look and see what's happening, basically. Or maybe you can hand your phone to a sighted colleague or friend what's going on. Okay, so I'm going to just briefly demonstrate really quick. Alexa, I'm leaving.
Okay, I'll start guarding now.
Okay, so once I've enabled this feature, and I'll talk about how to do that in a second, that's what I would do to armor. Say I'm going to walk out the door, I'm going to Walmart or something, right? Going shopping, going to Kroger. So at this point, she's on and she's listening for any of those key things. So let me just trigger and get you an idea. I got a sound of breaking glass, and we'll see what she does. Don't know what I downloaded, but anyway, just playing this off of YouTube. All right, says Alexa Guard has been enabled, and that she's detected something. And then what I would do is on the notice on my phone, I would tap that, and it would give me the option to drop in on what had just occurred, or I could play the clip or whatever the case may be on my phone. So it's pretty handy. Now, when I get home, what I would do is I would say, Alexa, I'm home.
Okay, I'll stop guarding now.
All right, and then she's done. So it's a pretty cool feature. So real quickly, to keep this succinct, how do you turn this on? You go to your A-Lady app, and you would open it up. The menu icon is in the top left. You double tap, open that up. You go down to settings, and then you're looking for, in the main settings panel, you're looking for guard or guard mode. You would double tap and activate that. And then there's a tutorial that you would follow. And it basically tells you what's what and what it will listen for. It says here alarm, smoke detectors going off, breaking glass, things like that. And then give you notice. So it's pretty cool. So that's just a handy tip. If you'd like to hear more tips, you're welcome to listen to the Echo Tips podcast. That's found wherever your podcasts typically are. And that's brought to you by the New Vision program at Goodwill, which is where I work as an assistive technology instructor. My name again is David Ward, and it's a pleasure having you listen with us. Let's give it back to Joe and JJ. I'm sure they got a lot more to talk to you about.
We've talked about the Surface Go a number of times on this particular program. However, well, we've kind of glossed over the downside of the Surface Go a couple of times. Something that a friend of mine and Lisa, who was on the program recently during our convention wrap-up show, noticed is that the idea behind the Go is great as long as you can live a wireless life. Because, well, all you have is a USB-C connector on the Surface Go and a micro SD card if you need to. But that's just not enough for some people. I mean, it's really great, and they can live with the Bluetooth aspect, or they can do everything in a cloud service and get files back and forth until they can get to a bigger computer. But for me, if I want to take this traveling and maybe use it as, you know, a convention coverage computer, I want to have something a little bigger, a little beefier as far as ports are concerned. That's why I did not consider the Surface Dock. The Surface Dock is, it's expensive. It's nice. It's a giant cord that you can actually throw in a bag, and it's really easy to carry. The downside is that it has like one USB port for three, and the rest are like two, and it's not that cheap, although I have seen it on sale at Best Buy a number of times. Therefore, if you're interested in actually getting the Microsoft-branded one, I would keep an eye on that over at Best Buy when they go through one of their big Microsoft Purge sales. Nope, instead I went a different direction for my birthday. Ricky got me the Pluggable Cube. That's right, Pluggable, who makes the keyboard that we've talked about on the program at convention, and I'll come back to that in a second. Pluggable makes this cube, and it looks very much like a Rubik's Cube in that it's as wide as one, but it's probably about two and a half, almost three rows tall as a Rubik's Cube. It has nothing on the top or the bottom on the vertical sides, except for the logo. You can actually feel the logo, and that's kind of nice. And then on the bottom, it's kind of flat, and that's fine. The sides, there are four sides, of course. It's a cube. And on one side, there is a USB connector, and that's all there is. And then two of the sides have nothing. And then your main side with all your plugs kind of goes like this. At the top left, where you would have about 11 o'clock, is an Ethernet port. In the middle is an HDMI. And on the right is a place where you put the power source for the Pluggable Cube. Come back to that in a second. Below that are three USB 3 slots, which is kind of nice. And of course, you can always stick an adapter on there and get more slots. I do sometimes, so I could actually get more off of this. Now, I mentioned that it has its own power source, and it's really weird when it comes to that, in that larger laptops and bigger devices probably will not charge off of this through USB-C. However, the Surface Go kind of looks like a mobile device, and it does. So I actually have charged my Surface Go off of the cube, although it's kind of slow when you do it that way. And it'll charge an iPhone, but that too can be problematic depending on what iPhone, how, and what you're doing with it. I've connected this to my television by connecting the USB connector from the Surface Go to my cube, then the HDMI out from this into my television, so I can actually see what I'm doing on a larger screen, or I could use it as a presentation computer with projectors that have that. Otherwise, you'd have to use a converter if it doesn't have an HDMI. But still, I have the ability to do so, and I actually have an adapter in my bag for that very reason. And it's less for me to carry, and that's kind of nice. And like I said earlier, if I want to simulate a desktop situation, I could actually use one of these USB slots and connect up just a regular full-size keyboard, which is really nice. And in the box, you get a USB cable, a USB-C cable. You get the power connector. And then you get this solid cube. It's really cute, and it's fairly lightweight. And I say fairly is, you know, you got something in your hand, and that's good because you want it to be durable. Now, I mentioned the power cord a little bit ago. It is unique in that, and you may see this on some devices now more than others, but the way that it works is that when you first get it out of the box, the little brick has a, well, it has nothing connected. You're like, wait, where are my prongs? How do I plug this thing in? Well, there are pieces that you can attach, which is kind of good. If you're going to do this like in another country, you could get another piece of attachment to get like a three prong, or you can get like a, you know, one for international. This by default comes with an AC two prong. And I had to find it in the box, then move it over to this tongue and groove thing. And I'm going to put it in here. I'm going to get it close here. Let me get it over here. There. So now I've connected that into the brick. And now my two prongs are attached to my little power adapter. And otherwise, it just has a big empty space. And I was like, wait a minute, is it magnetic? How does this work? I wasn't really sure. There is a little button at the bottom that'll allow you to release it and pull that off and switch it out if you need to. That's a neat little thing, but it's something you should be aware of if you're not ready for it, because I didn't see it in the reviews that way. And I know some devices are coming that way with these universal adapters, thanks to the EU requiring that there be more universality when it comes to charging. I mentioned that it was solid. It is very solid. It is very much like the pluggable keyboard that we talked about at convention time. And it's made out of the same Stern stuff where you have that solid metal from the old pluggable keyboard. And I like that too. I'm using that now with the Surface Go because I find that it is a little easier for my larger hands. And I've given the type cover to Ricky to use. And that's kind of my standard setup with the Go now, is that I'm using the pluggable cube when I have to do some external stuff, like it drives on it faster, quicker, easier. I don't have any USB-C thumb drives at the moment, so this is a good way for me to be able to transfer files off of standard USB drives. And it's around, depending, $59 to $79. I've seen it on sale a couple of times. And I think that you can get it cheaper come the holidays. And I really do like it for a USB-C dock. If you have your favorite USB-C type dock, let us know in the comment section or send it in at feedback@blindbargains.com for episode 190. I'll put a link to the USB-C review from Paul Thurrott on the Cube. And I'll also put a link in there as well to the pluggable keyboard in case you didn't hear us talk about that a couple of episodes ago, back before the big, big break during convention coverage. Oh, and before I forget, for those who were low vision, it has a great big blue light that shows up around it when you have it plugged in. It's not important. It's just kind of a go fast stripe kind of thing. But you know when the power is getting there because it's got this big Tron blue light going around it. Okay, no, really, that's it. I'm done.
That's going to do it. Blind Bargains 190. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to David Ward for coming on with a tip. And also thanks, of course, to Joe for talking about cubes. Hey, gotta love that. Pluggable has some really cool stuff. Of course, if you're not familiar, there's a pluggable full-size Bluetooth keyboard that we sell over at atguys.com. Go check that out as well. Some really quality products from Pluggable that we love to play with. Next week, well, we can tell you what that one's going to be. It's the iOS show. iPhone 11. How many different versions will there be? iOS 13. We know lots about that already, but we will learn even more details. Shelly's going to be on with us. And, of course, lots of surprises and Apple bashing. I mean, Apple discussion. We will try to be fair and balanced, right? That's what we do here. So definitely one of our big shows of the fall. Come back for that and anything else that is worthy of talking about on Blind Bargains 191. Hey, another palindrome show. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to Patrick for putting up with all the weird audio formats that I try to throw at him. He deals with them all, and we do appreciate that. You can find us on iTunes or Google Play or your podcast app of sorts. Please be sure to follow us and subscribe. It helps our numbers. It helps out others as well. We do appreciate you doing that. Just search for Blind Bargains or on your assistant of choice. I'm not going to name them anymore because we've already thrown them into enough of a tizzy. You can follow us twitter.com/blindbargains and you can send us messages there. You can email feedback@blindbargains.com. You can find Joe on Twitter at Ranger Station, all one word. Again, that's going to do it for this week. We'll see you with some sparkly new Apple news next time. Bye-bye.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2019.